the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto monti kate rito kopoto keta sudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need. It will bring to you the people you need. It will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The presence of God is already here. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. From verse 5, we started a series, a teaching series on Sunday, last week Sunday. Don't worry, this is a bicycle shop. Amen. Do you understand that? The Wright brothers built their aircraft from a bicycle shop. And they changed the world. Hallelujah. You don't need a rocket scientist to say that this ministry is going to be one of the leading ministries in this end time. Globally, hallelujah. We're going to have the best of facilities around the world. Not just here, not just in Nigeria. I'm telling you now so that you know, around the world, from Europe to America to Asia to Africa. The best of facilities, amen, around the world with sound, lights, media gadgets, amen, and mega facilities. Glory to God. That's why I say that this is a bicycle shop. So we will not be ashamed of a bicycle shop. Glory to God. Are you there? Now, that's what I'm saying. And beside this, now, let's read it first. We're talking on boosting your faith for supernatural accomplishments. And these are anchor scripture. You see, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, wrongly translated as charity, is agapao, it's love. Verse 8, for if these things be in you, and abound, then make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Powerful portion of scripture. He started by telling us that the starting point is faith. I want you to see spiritual things as assets. Did you hear what I said? Always relate to spiritual things as assets. As assets. Relate to them as tangibles. Relate to them as realities. You must see them as assets. You know, some Christians treat prophetic words, for example, you know they've not seen it as assets. Listen, you must see prophetic words as assets. Don't be profane. The Bible warned us not to be like Esau. He said Esau was a profane man. A profane person is someone who has no regard for spiritual things. No regard for the spirituality of things. You must learn prophetic words are assets. And those who treat them as assets are those who return with testimonies. We speak words here, they are those who carry them, as it is said. And the rod with them return with testimonies. There are those who just say amen and just think it's just a word of blessing, just like their mother told them, oh, as you are going, the Lord bless you, may your work prosper. They are not the same thing. When prophetic words go out of the mouth of the anointed, treat them as assets. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. He said, my son Timothy, this is what I'm telling you. This charge I commit unto thee. He said that you use the word of prophecies gone before on thee as weapons of war to fight war. The Good News Translation says, use them as military armaments to fight well. He's telling Timothy to use the prophetic words to fight, to do battle with it, to transact. I told you the assets. Very important. So we can transact the prophetic word and have results. And have something given to you in exchange. The Bible is talking about the faith hall of fame. He said, this man through faith obtained promises. Obtained promises. Treat spiritual things as assets. Especially prophetic words. The assets. That means they confer on you purchasing power. They can give you facilities in the spirit. As I have, oh God. But such as I have. The best I by telling him to look on them. They got his attention. He now says, silver and gold, I don't have here. That's what he's saying. That does not provide a theology for poverty. Amen. Silver and gold have I known. He was talking about at the present. But such as I have. That's what I'm talking about. Such as I have. He saw the name of Jesus as an asset. Kalabokosoto. Such as I have, give by thee. He saw the name of Jesus as an asset. I don't have a problem with the oil, but there's a way some Christians have made religion out of. You know, anointing oil. I heard one sharing testimony. Something happened. She was looking for her oil. She could not find her oil. She didn't know what to do. I felt like going to the TV and slapping the person. I've told you here, leave oil alone. It's for frying chicken. I've told you. We use it as the spirit leads. How should a Christian feel helpless? Where is the real oil? Is somebody here? Where is the real oil? Hope you know the Goya, they use it to cook. Are you aware? Feeling helpless because that means you don't see spiritual things as assets. He says, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Ashebalia Kapaya, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says he took him by the hand. And he leaping, when he said rise up and walk, the man didn't stand up. He didn't stand, he was looking. But he didn't pray again. Oh faith. He didn't pray again. He took him by the right hand. And the Bible says he leaping up stood. And then his ankles receive strength. You must see spiritual things as assets. Many things you can use to transact in your journey, your destiny. Here you are, new in town, no house, no job, no money. You really think you don't have anything? As a Christian, it's not true. No, it's not true. The words spoken over you, they are assets. They are every prophetic word, they are assets. You can bring out your journal and begin to read them and begin to prophesy them. Is somebody listening to me? Do you know that all of the powers and the authority of heaven have been invested in the name of Jesus? God invested everything he had in that name and then handed the name to you. Assets. Just like a preacher will give a testimony I came to this city just with myself and my books. I was squatting. But now look at what the Lord has done. We have become a great company. Just like a preacher can say that, a business person should say that. A Christian career person should say that. You can say, just like Joseph, with my staff, I crossed over this Jordan. Now I have become two bands, two companies. But you have assets that are invisible. You have assets that are invisible. The name of Jesus, the blessing upon you. The blessing, Kalaboko Soto, that thing called the blessing. That can put you above any economic climate. That can put you above any nation. The blessing. Never feel helpless in your life as a believer. Never. Listen, Satan will always want you to keep your eyes on the natural. Why? He will always defeat you in the natural. Always. That's when you're focused in the natural. But when you take the battle to the spiritual, to the invisible, you always win. That's why Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Oh, hold on. You mean the things which are not seen, we can look upon them? Why? They are real. They are tangible. We can relate to them. We can get a hold of them. Even if they are invisible. Hallelujah. See spiritual things as assets. Assets confound you purchasing power. Amen. You know, faith is invisible, but the results are visible. Last week we started talking about the concept, certain concept of faith. We said, we defined faith. Who can give me the definition I gave you? I said, faith is what? Response in thoughts, words, and actions. Mm-hmm. To reveal truth, right? I say your response in words, in thoughts, words, and actions to reveal truth. That's what faith is. So anything you do because revelation hits your spirit, that's faith. That's faith. And I tried to broaden your reasoning about the concept of faith. I told you a Christian saw in the Bible that the hand of the diligent shall rule. He saw that word and decides to be a diligent person. He's in faith. Yeah. Why? He's responding to reveal truth. He's in faith. He said, honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, right? And then you saw it and then you acted. You began to honor your father, even though he had a different view. You began to honor your mother, even though you don't like her. And let me tell you something. Like is in your head, though. Forget all those like, don't like. Live from your spirit. You know what you say here? That God did not tell you to marry the person you love. He told us to love the one you marry. That is scripture. Do you understand? So the instruction is, oh, marry that person you love. You also love another person. The instruction is, love the one you married. Wisdom. Is somebody listening to me? That's the instruction. So all this emotional living, there's no place for it in Christianity. You live from your spirit. And then you carry your emotions along. Is somebody listening to me? So any action in response to revelation of God's word is faith. You began to honor your father, your mother. You are in faith. And God is going to honor that faith. Hallelujah. One part of to say that in this kingdom, there are many currencies. Or in life, there are many currencies. Money is just one out of the many currencies we have. And probably the least. Faith is a currency. It confers on you purchasing power. Faith is a currency. That means you can transact with it. Favor is a currency. In this kingdom, favor is a... I spend favor. Do you understand? I spend favor. Glory to God. Every day of my life, I have favor. I enjoy favor. There are times I walk into a restaurant. Something happened recently. I just said I should carry myself. Usually I send people when I want to take something in the office. I said, okay, let me go to the restaurant and just sit and relax. I sat there. I ordered for something. Okay. One that I would take, one that I would take away. Then they came and met me. Okay, those people that are going, they paid for you. I said, It didn't stop there. As I was going, they brought more things. They said, somebody else came and ordered for more things to give you. We spent favor. The money I took was still in my pocket. I prophesy a new season of favor for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Favor. So if you are going to buy everything you will use in life, there's a problem. There's a problem somewhere. You are a child of God. Listen, one of the things that releases favor is blood. It's blood. And for you, blood has been shed. That means from the day Jesus died. Didn't you hear what he said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted and all that. The last thing he said was, and to proclaim, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. He said the year when the Lord's free favors profusely abounds. And the day he died, jubilee started. Endless jubilee. We can never be in recession. Do I have believers here? Christians can never be in recession. We can only walk in ignorance and talk wrongly. We can never be in recession. We are eternally in jubilee. Eternal jubilee. The year where the free favors of God profusely abounds. So what we are learning is how to take a hold of what is ours. Are you listening to me? Are you learning something this morning? First, I started telling you about treating spiritual things as assets. As assets. Meaning you are here and then you need to get to there and then you are looking physically and there are things you don't have. Physically, don't get distracted by those things. What I'm saying is they are invisible materials. And that's why the Bible warns us not to be carnal. Don't be a carnal Christian. Your spirituality must be important to you. Are you listening to me? Spirituality must be important to you. What we call spiritual life, amen. Must be important to you. Hallelujah. So faith is a currency. I'm saying that faith begins when the word of God comes to you. Alright, I'm going to jump back. If you were not around last week, you get the material so that I can finish my talk today. Finish today's talk. Alright. So we'll just say a few things about the concept of faith, or discuss the concept of faith, and get into the boosters. We said the seven faith boosters from that Second Peter, right? Listen, the fulfillment of your destinies is at the mercy of your faith. Never forget that. Grace makes available. Faith takes that which grace has made available. The blessings and provisions of God are available to everyone. Do you know that Jesus did not die for Christians? Newsflash. Jesus did not die for Christians. He died for the world. But how did we become born again? How did we obtain the salvation that was already available before we were born? Faith. We took it by faith. By faith. We are saved through grace. And the same way salvation came to us by faith, that is how we're going to obtain and enjoy all the other blessings in the kingdom by faith. Are you getting me? That means someone can be saved and sick, not because it's God's will. Somebody can be saved and oppressed by sickness, by disease, by lack and poverty. The one I hate so much. No, God hates you too. But it's not God's fault. You use your faith to receive the provisions of grace. Hallelujah. The word of God is the seed for faith. And the hearing of the word from the Lord is the valid source of faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. If you study Galatians, Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, now, he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing. So faith comes. Faith always comes. This faith we did, we subdue kingdoms, walk righteousness, do big things, receive what is ours, move from point A to point B. He said it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what we are to hear is the word of God. I told you last week that your heart is the factory for faith, and the word of God is the raw material for the production of faith. You remember that, right? The Bible said, with the heart, man believes. Not with the head. With the heart, man believes. But the material that produces that believing is the word of God. So we said, more word, more faith. Little word, little faith. No word. Glory to God. Faith comes from the word of God. The word made alive in your spirit. The word you hear. The rhema that comes to you. And here's the second part to it. I don't know if I added this part last week. Staying in the word until faith comes. This is very important. Very, very important. Staying in the word till faith comes. Actually, faith ought to be an unconscious reality. An unconscious product of staying in God's word. Are you listening? Remember the story of the man impotent in his feet at Lystra in Acts chapter 14. The Bible says this man, there was a certain man at Lystra who was impotent in his feet. He had never walked. He said, the same heard Paul preach. And we're told by Bible scholars that actually, it wasn't that day he got it that he started hearing Paul preach. If you notice, they used to teach every day and spend a long time teaching. So it was such that is the environment. That's the story. Do you understand? Behind that story. In fact, it was said that every day he kept coming to hear the preachings of Paul. But there was a certain day, Kalabakabaya, when faith came. There was a maturity of faith in his heart. The Bible says on this certain day, he was here the same way he's been hearing. But that day, there was a difference. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. How did the faith come? He was hearing Paul preach. He had been hearing Paul preach. Somebody listen to me. That day he had faith. The Bible said Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. And turned unto him and said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And the Bible said he leaped and stood. Oh, glory to God. He leaped, a man that had never walked. He leaped and stood. And the people at Debe, I believe, started shouting in the language of Lyconia. They said, the gods have come. That is my definition of Christianity. Christianity is gods have come to us in the likeness of men. That's what the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. They brought, is it Gala? They brought animals to sacrifice. Both to Paul and to, I think it was Paul and Barnabas. They said they were gods. Glory to God. Do you know this is how our lives are supposed to be? People will look at our results and say, Kai, the gods have come to us. in the likeness of men. When Queen Mary said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies Kalibokosu took ever. All the armies of England. And yes, the prayer killed her. I told you the end of the story. She died. Is somebody here? Hearing. The hearing of faith. Galatians talks about the hearing of faith. Never stop hearing God's word. Never stop spending time with God's word. So the word is a true source of faith. Second concept I want to share with you is this. Fellowship is the mother of faith. Never forget that. You know that Kenneth Hagin's book on faith, that study guide on faith, that big book is wide like this on faith. I had it as a student on campus. Wait, do you guys still read? Hope you read books. You read faith-based books, not motivational books. So you read motivational books, but they have to be secondary. Are you listening to me? Don't spend your life reading. If you think you can do it, you can do it. If you believe you can do it, strategic planning, they are good. But they have to be built on something. Are you listening to me? So read very faith-based books. Do you know E.W. Kenyon? If you have been around for a while, you should know E.W. Kenyon. If you don't know, write it and go and buy all the books. You are laughing, Pastor Eva. Buy all the books. Do you know Kenneth E. Hagin? Go and buy all the books you can see and read them. Do you know T.L. Osborne? Buy all the books. Do you know Kenneth Copeland? Buy all the books of Kenneth Copeland you can see. Do you know Gloria Copeland? Do you know Charles Capps? Calabaya. Hey! Charles, for me, that's the foremost teacher word of faith. Charles Capps. Do you know Charles Capps? If you have not been capsulized, you don't understand faith yet. His name is Charles Capps. Go and get every book that he wrote. Are you listening? I'll never forget one of my birthdays. You know what I told my dad years ago? I said, buy me all of Charles Capps' books. So he bought all of Charles Capps' books to my dad and sent them to me. From Lagos, as birthday gifts. I ordered, I said, send me, buy all of Charles Capps' book. He was in Lagos. Are you following me? Are you following me? Do you know Frederick Casey Price?
Yes, sir.
Go and buy. Now, why am I saying this? If there is a defect in your foundation, you can't go very far. And that's the problem most preachers are having. They are shouting prophetic. They don't know the basics of ministry and of Christian faith. Are you listening? Go and harness all those materials. Sit down with them. Make your brain sweat on them. And catch the foundations of the Christian faith. Somebody listen to me. Very important. Very important. Very important. Very important. David Yogi Cho, get the books. Get the books. Get the books. And then you can build on it from there. Do you understand? Then we can now garnish it with motivation. You understand? Stay in the world. That's what we're saying. Stay in the world. Do everything. Now, some of these books have audio, what do you call it? Audio versions, right? As audio books. Get them. There are people here that have them. If you don't have some of them, come. If I don't have some copies of some, come to the office. Our guys will give them to you. Put them on your tab and read them. Download Kindle. Put materials there. Stay in the word. Stay. If you are too busy for the word of God, you are too busy to succeed God's way. Everything you'll be doing is trial and error. You'll always be making funny mistakes. Don't put the cart. Is it cart before the horse? Don't do that. I know your career is important. Your business is important. The word of God in your heart is more important. If not, your struggling continues. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
the word of God in your heart is very important. Very important. I know some of you are already doing this. But those of you that have not started, start doing it. Create time for the word of God. Create time for the hearing of faith. Create time that faith comes to you beyond church. What I do in church is to stir you up. Amen. But stay in the word. Are you listening? Stay in the word. Put them on your phones. Just play them. If you have a shop and all that, let the sound system there be playing messages. Are you listening? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You program yourself for visitations from heaven. Visitations from heaven. What the word of God uses. Yeah, thank you. No, don't sleep with movies. Playing, don't do that. If by mistake you sleep, when you wake up, change it. And put message there. That's how to condition your dreams. Glory to God forevermore. I have a lot to do this morning. Let me get back to word. So keep hearing until faith comes. And the word is the revelation of God's will and his finished works. And his finished works. Now, you will notice in the New Testament, the Bible always saying things like, before the foundations of the earth. Before the foundations of the earth. He said the works were finished before the foundations of the earth. He said the eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the foundations of the earth. And he says, and in due time had manifested his promise unto us by sending his son. So, there's what we call the finished works of God and the finished works of Christ. What God said he has done, believe that he has done it. The revelation of what he said he has done will bear faith in your heart. Are you following me? The revelation of his will bear faith in your heart. That's the word we're talking about. Hallelujah. I see myself rushing here. We said fellowship is the mother of faith. Faith is meant to be an unconscious reality born out of fellowship in the word, in worship and prayer. This is why faith is not mental assent. There is a mingling required for faith to be conceived. That's the second. Fellowship is the mother of faith. Meaning fellowship bears faith. Meaning faith is not something you say, I'm trying to do it by faith. You know that people say, I'll give by faith. So this morning is by faith that you come. It's by faith. So by faith. The day passes. The deadline is passed. Months are passed. And then, this is why many Christians are discouraged. They say, I was believing God. Or I said, I did by faith. It did not work. There's nothing like that. Nothing like that. When you understand the dynamics of faith, it will always work. It cannot not work. Archbishop Idahosa says, when your faith says yes, even God cannot say no. And he was correct. Because faith for anything cannot be birthed outside of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit has put faith in your heart, that means it's part of his will for you to have it. That's why we talk about faith and a good conscience. That's the next thing I'll share with you. So fellowship is the mother of faith. There's a mingling required. It's not just saying, I shall not die, but live to declare. I shall not die, but live to declare. I shall not die. You know, like I said, like people that shout, Jesus, 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 and they have accident and die. Do you think it's because the name of Jesus is not powerful? Oh, you know the story I just remembered. Bishop David Oedipo. Many years ago, in the 80s actually, he was traveling with his wife. They were on a narrow bridge and a truck was coming. The wife started screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His concern was that she was repeating. He said, once is enough. He just thought, he said, once is enough. He didn't remember to pray. He said, once is enough. There is a consciousness. There's a consciousness. Are you here this morning? There's a consciousness. There's a consciousness that comes from a mingling. A mingling. You are hanging out with God and His Word. You are hanging out with God in His Word, in worship, in prayer. You cannot live there the same. Faith to be birthed in your heart. Knowing to be born. You will come out with faith. Are you listening? It's not Jesus. Once is enough. Glory to God. Why? It is not in the mentioning of the name. It is in the revelation and in what has happened in your spirit. Oh, when you know that this name is an asset, it can preserve you. Oh God. Listen, in the realm of the natural, what you know is collision. There's a realm beyond that. There's interpenetration. That means a car can go through a car. Are you listening? That's why I told you, you treat spiritual things as, who told you it's only collision that exists? Solid can go through solid. Kai, are you guys here? If you don't believe in the supernatural, you're not a Christian. Glory to God. You fellowship until reality gets dawn on your spirit. The reality of the truth of God. You know that you know that you know that you know. You know that you know that you know. So this faith comes from spiritual knowledge. You know that you know that you know. It comes from spiritual understanding. You know and you understand exactly what's up. You know. But you see, it takes time for that knowing to come. That's why we talk about fellowship. Fellowship. It could be your daily routine. It could be when you are believing God for something specific. You have time of fellowship. In the Word, in worship, in prayer. You will live there with the substance. The Bible said now faith is the substance of things not seen. Hypostasis is the substance of things not seen. The evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So faith is substance. It is not guesswork. Do you understand? There's a substance, and that substance is crystallized by the revelation that comes to you. In the place of fellowship, is a substance. So you can hold it. You know that you know that you know. You know that you know that you know. Is substance. And I love to use the example that we can all sign checks. But what makes a check heavy is the money in the accounts. Oh, come on now. So someone can pull out this checkbook and write 10 million naira. Pay this person 10 million naira and sign. That's wonderful, right? I bring up my own checkbook, 10 million naira and sign. The difference is in what is in the account, the substance. One may bounce, the other will not bounce. What's the difference? Substance. You understand? So the signing of the check will be likened to corresponding action. There are Christians that copy corresponding action and they get discouraged. You do not copy corresponding action until the substance is better your spirit. I'm teaching you concept of faith. Until the substance is better in your faith, you don't copy corresponding action. Because, you see, the moment the substance is better in your faith, the corresponding action is an overflow. Oh, glory to God. It's an overflow. And most times, it could be very customized. And I gave you an example. Was it last Sunday? When I said the word that gave jets to three preachers were all different. But they were sowing their seeds and believing God for jet until a word came. He said, oh, his word came. The word of the Lord tried him until his word came. Oh, glory to God. This week we said it. Do you understand? We cannot be too busy to lose it. How we navigate our paths is by these things. The word of God coming to you and moving at the frequency of that word. Listen, this is how to gain momentum for the next level. Yes, There's such a thing as gaining momentum for the next level. Momentum is mass times velocity. That means you want to gain speed and wait for the next level. This is how. This is how. This is how. Presence plus word. The presence is the weight or the mass. The word is the speed. He said the word of the Lord is quick. Oh, I know I'm speaking above some people's head. This is how to gain momentum. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Let me hurry to the next thing. We said, in the midst of all the excitement of the atmosphere, ensure you hear from the Lord. This is how you gain momentum. All right. I've said that. So in the midst of all excitement, you ensure you hear what? The word from the Lord. Hallelujah. The third thing is faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. You can put up very quickly that 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 and 19. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the word of prophecies that have gone ahead concerning you, right? He said that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience. I will explain what this means. Have you ever wondered, what does that mean? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You know what it's saying? He said, when their faith was not with a good conscience, their faith had accidents, was shipwrecked. And somebody goes out, I'm going to buy this. He has not used any car before. And he said his Bugatti is releasing his faith for. He stays in a two-bedroom flat. No, I need to discuss this concept with you so that it will help you out of foolishness and presumption. He stays in two rooms. He has not used any car before. He said, my first car is Lamborghini. Yes. My first car is Lamborghini. And it's coming next month. He said, Pastor, don't you believe in the supernatural? Don't you believe in impossibilities? Yes, I do. But the question is, number one, is the substance there? Number two, is there a good conscience? Now, what does it mean by good conscience? It's talking about co-perception of the spirit. There's a way your spirit... Now, you may believe God for a car. You need a car. But there is a car that will stand out in your heart. You see a nice car park, but your heart doesn't connect with it. You know that someday you have it. But it's not burning in your heart. Why? Your spirit has not gotten a hold of it. There are things... Oh, Shekepai, somebody here. That from your spirit, you just got a hold of it. You don't know why. You just know that this is what you ought to be. You know that you know assumption. Oh, you know that you know that you know. There's an agreement of your spirit. That's what I'm saying. There's no disconnect. As you are saying Lamborghini, something you are saying, you are lying. We can't see it here. We can't see it here. We can't see it here. And listen, your heart is conditioned to produce for you what it has experienced. So if your heart is telling you, it's not true. We can't find it here. You can't have it. And what is he saying? He said, when people put away that good conscience, they make shipwreck of their faith. Some get discouraged. Is that affecting... Getting you discouraged, start affecting the way you can release your faith for other little things. Why? No co-perception with the spirit. It's not everything you say I want. No. By time, your spirit will guide you. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, with which it searches the inward parts of the belly. It's not everything you say, oh, this and no. There's co-perception of the spirit. There's co-perception of the spirit. And this is where your walk with the Holy Ghost is important. Yes, sir. This is where fellowship is important. So somewhere in your heart, you can time the manifestation. You know what the current level of faith can accomplish. You know what your heart is getting hold of. You know what exactly can be done. Is somebody following me? We call it co-perception with the spirit. Good conscience. Just don't just say wild things. Do you understand? I wanted to make a pledge. And the Lord said, can't you trust me for something abnormal? Not one gazillion. That's foolishness. You have gone insane. Your spirit does not agree with that. I assure you. If you set your heart doesn't agree with it. Is somebody listening to me? So faith operates with co-perception of the spirit. We call it good conscience. I just wrote one gazillion. Thank God for the blood, though. You know those that preach that when you make a pledge and you don't fulfill it, God will visit your house. I mean, some people to their 100th generation, God will be visiting them. You know what one gazillion is? I've never heard gazillion said. Until the brother said to gazillion. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Faith operates with a good conscience. You don't just say, next week, 1 billion naira. By next month, one. And your heart is shouting, no, he's not here. He's not here. He's not here. He said, no, keep quiet. 1 billion. Once the faith is born, there will be an agreement in your spirit. And even though there is no natural way, no human way possible, Kalaboko Sutta. That faith with a good conscience will produce it. That faith with a good conscience will produce it. It will produce it. Can I get an amen? So faith operates with good conscience. The next concept I want you to understand about faith. This should be number 4 now, I believe. Is that the end of faith is not the physical manifestation, but the salvation of your soul and the release of joy. That's the end of faith. You can see that in 1 Peter. You can put up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. So the end of faith, look up at me, everyone. There are people that think that, the process of faith is completed when what they are believing God for arrives. No, it's not true. That, if it's true, then faith is no longer spiritual. The end of faith is the salvation of your soul. When you read from verse 8, it says, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It means real faith will always produce joy in your hearts. Always, 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 always. Rejoicing will break forth. The moment the substance of faith is met in your heart, one of the things that will follow is joy. Joy, peace, and rest. If God has not flooded your heart, get back to God's word. Faith has not come. Or you are still working on your believing. Or faith is there, but it's not matured yet for what you are believing God for. Do you understand? And this is the joy of the Lord. It's not talking about happiness. It's joy. It's spiritual. Remember the Bible said the fruit of the spirit. Spirit, spirit, no emotions. Spirit is joy. The fruit of the spirit is joy. So it begs joy. We're talking about the end of faith. When can we say the faith process is complete? Not when there's physical manifestation, but when joy is there, yet believing. That's faith. You rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Look at the next. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know what he's talking about? When your soul, your inner man, has come to the place of full persuasion, the faith process has finished. Manifestation will follow. So you don't use the physical manifestation to know the end of faith. The salvation of your soul and the release of joy is the end of your faith. Can I get an amen? So that's how you measure. How do you know? Joy. Full persuasion. Full persuasion. Full persuasion. That means there's the beginning of faith. Oh, come on now. There's the journey of faith and there's the end of faith. Meaning you can be believing God for something. You gather material, you are meditating on those scriptures. You know that the process is not complete. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Even your heart may be burning. I've told you to learn how to go past the burning phase. Now your heart is burning, it doesn't mean you have sinned. you have seen the crystals. No. Remember the two disciples on the way to Emmaus? He says, why he spoke to them, their hearts burned. But did they know? Did they see him? No, they didn't know he was the Christ until bread were broken and their eyes were open and they saw him. But you see, even while their heart was born, the Bible says they constrained him to go with them. So you have to be born in as a minister, but you still constrain the Holy Ghost. You stay there. You stay there. You don't just leave. You stay there. You come another day, you play those messages, you open the scriptures, you write the expectations, and you're meditating. And you are meditating. And you are praying the Holy Ghost. And you are meditating. Your heart is born and you are meditating. Why? Your eyes have not seen. Until your eyes see the crystals. It's not over. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? So the end of faith is the salvation of your soul and the release of joy. Alright. The next thing, faith. The next thing, I believe that should be number one. Concept of faith. There is a fight to faith. I think I'll talk about this, then see I can talk about virtue and knowledge. There's a fight to faith. There's a fight to faith. You know, when the faith message comes to people, especially those that are just getting to know me, I remember one of my classmates said one day, he said, wow. And he was attending a very faith-teaching, faith-believing church. But you know, we're talking about the fight of faith one day, and yet he was like, wow, I didn't know this. Now he now began to connect certain things. Probably no wonder this and this and this. Say yes, there's a fight to faith. There's such a thing as the fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, I believe, is a fight. 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 Fight the good fight of faith. That means the process of faith to be complete, joy is in your heart. You are fully persuaded. And certain things happen that doesn't look like what you have received. What are you going to do? Fight. Then you now begin to use your spiritual assets as weapons to fight. You fight. You fight. Is it fight the good fight of faith? Lay hold on eternal life. Unto thou art also called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. So you fight. There's a fight of faith. But Lord told me I'm healed. Why is the doctor saying this? Bros, fight. You fight. Do you understand? But the Lord told me the contract was mine. The contract was mine. But I just said he was giving to someone else. You'll fight too. You'll fight. Because lagabo. Winning faith has no deadline. You will stay there until they blow the whistle that you win. Do you understand? We call it faith that defies death. So fight. Carry those words. Put tongues on your mouth. Use the name of Jesus and insist. That's how we say faith expects the best but is ready for the worst. You know, in faith circles, people don't like hearing that, but it is true. Faith expects what? The best but is ready for the worst. Meaning, when something contrary happens, you are ready to change it, even though you're expecting the best. That was what happened in the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. But Lazarus died, though. Lazarus died. This sickness is not unto death. Lazarus died. Meaning there are things that will happen that make you look like a liar. Like you are not a man of God. You understand? You don't give up. You fight. No, the Son of God said, this sickness is not unto death. And Satan killed him. There's a fight to faith. But at the end, who won? Jesus won. Jesus won. He did not recognize them. He said, roll away the stones. He stood there. He said, Lazarus, come out. Come out. And the Bible says the man that was dead and buried jumped out of the grave. How he stood up is a miracle. How he was hoping with grave clothes. You know how the Jews embalm people? Listen, if you are not dead and you are embalmed by the Jews, you'll be dead after the embalmment. You know mummification. It's like mummifying. That's now something like that, the environment. They just wrap the person in mud. It's like a POP, do you understand? It's semi-solid. Liquid semi-solid. You know POP? Then it solidifies. You know POP? That solidifies and has to be. So that's how it's done. Like liquid, when the environment person is solidifies the person in the cocoon. So if the person wasn't dead, after the environment, the person will be dead. This should show you the supernatural resurrection of Jesus. Listen, he came out of the cocoon and the shape was still there. Hey, somebody did not hear what I said. When you believe in the resurrection, that was what Peter saw and believed. Though it's not grave clothes, anybody can carry the dead body and drop clothes now. Do you understand? That was what Peter saw and believed. It's not grave clothes folded. No, how could you say grave clothes and believe? No, they could take the body and drop clothes, but he saw that the dry POP had the shape of a man, but there was no human inside. Oh God, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, glory to God, Father. I feel like crying right now. How can Jesus is not a prophet? Do you understand? He's the reason why prophets have job. Everybody wants to make him a prophet. He's not a prophet. He's the Son of the living God. Do you understand? The Bible says he was raised by the glory of the Father. Raised by the glory of the Father. His resurrection was supernatural. That's why you hear about, oh dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you. He said, without contradiction, great is the mystery of godliness. That God came in the likeness of a man. Oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preach to the Gentiles. Shalaboko bosoto kepa, male bronda kepa, seen by men in the world, taken up into glory. He came out of that cocoon, neat, by the glory of the Father. Peter could not believe. Bible said when he saw it, he believed. He believed. Not believing that he has risen, believing that this is indeed the Son of the living God. And everyone who had issue with believing, on the day he ascended, they believed. Including his brothers. No, won't you believe? You saw the man you grew up with in your house. Jesus did not disappear into heaven. He was going up. The Bible said, blessing them. He was taking up. Blessing them. Meaning he was ascending. There was a time he was 3 feet above the ground. And he was talking. He went 4 feet. And he was talking. He went 6 feet. And he was talking. Oh my goodness. He went 9 feet. And he was talking. Until the cloud received him. And then there were angels there. And I began to talk to the disciples. I said, why are you looking like this? This same Jesus. This same Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is why we preach the gospel. This is real. We are not joking. Peter said, we are not believed cunningly devised fables. No. He said, we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, we were with him on the holy mount. When the voice came from the excellent glory, we were with him. We were with him. Jesus is real. There are not many ways to God. Are you listening? Don't let intellectualities. He said, there is only one name. Only one name given among men, whereby we must be saved. Don't let intellectualism rob you of true Christianity. Are you listening? Only one name. Go and tell them. Only one name. This is why we preach. This is why we make his name known. This is why we preach. Warning all men. The angel said, this same Jesus. This same Jesus. He is going to come again. This is what we are waiting for. Do you understand? He is going to come again. In the same manner, in like manner, King James said, as he ascended, he will come with his feet touching Mount Olivet. Is somebody here? And brothers and sisters, we are coming with him. We are coming with him. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewelth, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.